Standing there, reflecting. Years ago, when Peggy, Lorraine, and I were assigned the minister responsibility of the upper part of the lower peninsula of Michigan and the whole upper peninsula of Michigan to be church planters and associational missionaries, many, many times when we started a church, we had absolutely no one to play music and no one to lead singing. I cannot tell you how many times we read the hymns in the hymn book for our worship time. And by the way, don't take one of ours, but you should have a hymnal at home when you do your daily devotions. Many, many times, go to those hymns. Praise God as you read those beautiful words like we just sang, okay? Miss Ashley, stand, please. Yes, no, you. 21 tomorrow, okay? And she and I reminisced a bit this morning about becoming 21. You remember? Well, I see you don't. It's been that long ago, hasn't it? Now you remember. Okay. It is a great age. It is. Okay. By the way, if you want to go, turn in Hebrews chapter 11. And there, the whole chapter, you know and you recognize, as do we, is a chapter called the roll call of heroes, or the hall of fame for the people of faith. And boy, you know, here's a good daily devotional plan for you. As you read one of these people in this chapter, go back and read their story in the Word of God. Read that history. And by the way, I found an excellent use for the chronological Bible. I got one of those, and it's just exciting. You go right to it. It's all put together there. Their whole story is in unison there, just right down through there, parallel. And so that is a great thing. Notice that the Word of God says, faith is the substance. Now, this translation says the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence, as King James says, of things not seen. It finishes as saying, for by it, faith, the men of old gained approval. I was flipping through the commercial on Andy Griffin. Have you ever noticed they have 8-minute commercials and 2-minute shows on Andy Griffin? The commercial on Andy Griffin. And I came across a guy, one of those channels, and he was offering faith seed. Seed money, not faith seed, seed money. And here was his plan. I liked it. It sounded fabulous. You send me 59 dollars and some cents. And every time I get $59 and that cents, you're going to get the same amount. Each and every one of you who send $59 and whatever cents that was. I wanted to say $59.95, you know, but I'm not sure that's what it was. Hey, that's a good deal. I wondered, how many people are going to send this guy $59 and some cents? Well, I could be rich if I got 59 plus, every time he got 59 plus. And then I remembered a few years ago, a couple of something like that, there was a guy saying, you send $1,000 seed money and you'll get rich. You'll just get filthy rich. God's just going to bless you on every hand. You'll drive a Cadillac. you'll boat the yacht, and you know, you're going to get rich. All you got to do is send a little seed money. And then I was sharing that with somebody. I said, well, you know, there was one guy saying $500. He said $500, and it'll just come flowing back to you. The bank will have to build a bigger vault to keep all your money. Hey, that sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? That doesn't appeal to you? Come on now, don't be religious on me here. That does appeal to you. Get rich. You see, that's what they're appealing to. They're appealing to the same thing that the lotto, the lottery, and all the gambling institutions appeal to, and that is our flesh's desire to get rich, to have a lot. Then I got to thinking about that, and there's a small problem with that. It's not in the scripture anywhere. Now, Jesus sent out 35 teams. Remember? He sent out 35 teams, and he said to those guys, now you go into every town, and you tell them this, Jesus is coming. Don't tell them they need to rake up 500 denario. Don't tell them if they do, and when I get here, they'll get filthy rich. Tell them Jesus is coming to town. You see, Jesus was going to come to town, and you know what he was going to say? He was going to say, hey guys, I want you to give yourself in toto, totally, absolutely, without reservation, you give yourself, leave everything, and come follow me. That's a little different. That prompted me to this. The title of this sermon I will call Seed Faith. If you have a faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, now this is a giant mustard seed tree, you understand. You have a faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can move trees. Now, just how important is this faith factor that we're going to be sowing? How important is that in our walk with Jesus? It ain't me. How important is it? That's all right. One place I was preaching, the police would go by. That was in Clio, Michigan. The police would come, and they'd come in on the sound system. Now, we had to re-educate the police in Clio, Michigan, because they didn't know how to talk too well. They had words that you're not supposed to say. Period. Now, how important is this faith thing in our walk with Jesus? Well, the Bible says without faith, can I add a Smith translation in it? Without walking in faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, no matter what you do, you get this faith money business going, and you say, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send God $1 million. That'll make God rich, right? No. God just take his fingernail and scrape part of the main street of heaven and have $1 million. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the just Now, folks, let me tell you, that's us's. The just shall live by faith. So, what is this faith stuff? Now, there are some acrostics that spell it out pretty good. But I think in definition, Miss Corrie Ten Boom, you may or may not have heard of her, but she was one tremendous lady that went through the Holocaust in Germany. Tremendous testimony. And she said, well, faith is like this. Now watch me fall flat on my face out there. Faith is picking up your foot, stepping out where there's nothing to put it down. You heard about the old boy, you know, in Otto. And who is that? Peanuts? No. Beetle Bailey. Yeah, Beetle Bailey and the Sarge, you know, and the story goes that the Sarge ran off the mountain and caught a little limb. And by the way, this actually is in one issue they put out, and caught a limb growing out of a bush growing out of the side of that cliff. And he's hollering, help, 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 somebody help me. And Beetle Bailey looks over the cliff and says, hi, Sarge. Sarge says, somebody else help me. Well, the Christian version of that is this. The man falls over the cliff, cries out into the dark, isn't there someone out there that can help me? Please, I need help. And a voice comes out of the dark and says, I'll help you. Who is that? This is God. Anybody else out there? Listen. Faith is walking where there's no foundation. Now, how does that apply? Okay, listen. The day you decide, you know, Jesus will probably keep his word. He said, I have a plan for you that's good. I have a life filled with abundance. I have a life overflowing with all the things you could ever imagine. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'll guarantee you something, right smack dab off the bat. I'll guarantee you this, that the minute you say that, Jesus is going to invite you right into something you've never been into before, on a path you've never walked before, in a way you've never walked before, to a place you've never been before. This is a humorous thing. Peggy and I were young, foolish, but we were smart enough to know that when God said, I want you in the ministry, my brother tells this story on me. We were plowing corn out in the field and laid down to take a rest, and there were clouds in the sky, and it said GP, and I translated that go preach when God was saying go plow. But anyway, we said, well, wherever God wants us, and we cut a deal with God. Boy, listen, you ought to deal with God. God's a great guy to deal with. I'm telling you. Let me show you. We said, now, Lord, we don't want to spend our life in the ministry preaching. That's the only thing you can make a commitment to back then. Everything else was secondhand, not legitimate. We don't want to spend our life in the ministry preaching and nobody gets saved. If we're going to give our lives, and we got out on our knees. No, we didn't either. We were around the kitchen table in a straight back chair. And we bowed our heads and said, God, we're going to hold you to one soul. Well, listen. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or, same verse, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? good deal. Listen. We hatched up a good deal with God. One soul. One soul's worth my life. One soul's worth everything I put into a ministry these 60 plus years. Anybody here want to venture how many souls have come to know Jesus Christ and have an eternity in heaven with God because Peggy and I have been in the ministry for 60 plus years? At one time we had a count. We lost all those books because we kept downsizing. No place, we couldn't even have place for the Grit magazine anymore. That's a joke, laugh. You don't know what I said. Okay. Listen. God said, are you with me now? Listen, I'll tell you something. God makes good deals. You need to make one with him. God said this. You give. Now we're talking dollars. We're talking that $1,000, that $59.95. You give like I want you to give, like I tell you to give. And by the way, if you're wondering what that is, I'll tell you a good place to start to find out. Just go to the Bible and get what God says in the Bible. Start there. Shoot, he may want you to give half of everything you make before you get done. That's okay. He said, you do that. And I will give back to you. Now that's what these $1,000 guys say. I'll give back to you, running over, full and running over. And you press it down and pack it in and it's still running over, just flowing, overflowing. Well, that's a pretty good deal. But you know what? You will have to step out by faith. I'm going to offer today to church members and non-church members an eternal life. How does it come? By faith. Ephesians 2, chapter 2. Yeah, Ephesians 2 is chapter 2, isn't it? Verse 1. For by grace, through faith, you're saved. And that not of yourselves. Faith is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Now, so you began your journey by faith, trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to just run whatever they call those, you know, you're watching a football game and down on the bottom they give you another score. We'll give you one of those. Listen. What could you do? What can you do to get saved, to know that you have eternal life, and that you're going to spend that eternity in heaven with God? What can you do? Well, you could be a big hero. You know what heroes are, don't you? There are guys that can fling a football 60 yards down the field and score touchdowns. Oh, they're big heroes. Enough heroes, they get millions of dollars. And that millions of dollars is about like the lotto. An old boy in West Virginia, a contractor, house builder. A few years ago, about 2001, I have it written down somewhere, hit the Powerball for hundreds of millions of dollars. He just quit working. Oh, what good was working going to do it? And he started changing his lifestyle. He now is a wealthy man. He's going to have everything he ever wanted. This is his end story. One morning, he went looking for his granddaughter that he was raising. He found her at the house trailer, of a 29-year-old drug peddler lying under a Jeep dead. The joy of his life. Had all the money in the world to buy all the drugs in the world she wanted to buy. His wife made the comment after he had been arrested the third time in a gambling scam. I wish we had never seen one penny of that money. Listen to me. There's really, just stack it up, compare it. That was only for two people here. Compare it. Eternal life. You're going to live forever. Not only that, but you're going to live in splendor. The most beautiful thing, eyes can't stand, our human eyes can't stand to look at it. The most wonderful thing, our human ears cannot stand to hear it. Heaven. Not one tear. What's that worth? What would you give to get it? All you got to do is just step out on faith. Well, preacher, you're rattling out all over the place. What does that mean? That means you trust Jesus. You trust God. You don't trust yourself. You can't do one thing. There's not one ounce of energy, not one thing you can invest to, in eternal life to know you're going there. But Jesus says you can know. And I expect, I'm just suspicious of this, but we who've said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, doomed, damned for an eternal hell. That's a while, and it's bad. Amen? You know, one of these days, I'm going to take time to preach a sermon on hell. That's not the nicest place in town, by far. When we get there, and stand there, and God says, well done. Good, faithful servant. So, you get saved by faith, by the way. You serve the Lord by faith. For the just, that's us. The just, by the way, if this does not satisfy you, if you don't like this sermon, you ought to examine yourself and say why. You ought to look yourself over real good. Think in your own head. Why is it I don't like this sermon? Why is it I have absolutely no interest in this sermon? Why is it means nothing to me? Because all, listen to me, all of life here on earth, you got that. And throughout all eternity hinges on faith. Just faith. Now I've got salvation, I've got eternal life, and now I want to be ready when that day comes. And by the way, your day will come. It's staggering when you apply that to reality. Your day's coming. You know, I'm going to answer for this day. I'm going to spend an hour and a half here in front of 40 people. You guys are hard to break loose. That turkey really got the best of you, didn't it? I'll answer for the sermon I preached. Was it the one God wanted me to preach it? How I preached it, did I preach it like He wanted me to preach it? By the way, and you're going to answer for your hearing. Did I listen to that sermon? Did I pay attention to that sermon? But above everything else, did I obey what the Word of God said? The just live by faith. Because one day, the Bible says, we will stand before God Almighty and give account of our deeds, whether they be good, appropriate, deeds or not. Now therein, by the way, don't let me scare you. You're not going to get kicked out of heaven into hell because you didn't do the things you ought to do. But you are going to see. Listen to me. You are going to see all the things you could have had. God wanted to bless you. He says, you know, trust me. The things I have laid by in store for those that love me. So, by faith, sow a little seed, faith. By faith, you're saved. By faith, you serve the Lord Jesus. And it don't make any difference. We once served in Pennsylvania, and there was a preacher there, and we had started a house on a mansion, but it was still a house. I'm distracted, folks. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray against that distraction. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will bring conviction and take care of that distraction. Help me to finish this sermon giving glory to Christ. I pray in His name. Amen. You heard me, or if you didn't hear me, you're bad off. I said we started a house in a mansion. Isn't that pitiful? Isn't that terrible? We started a mission church in a mansion that we were able to get a hold of. And a preacher came from seminary. And Sam was a good preacher, still is today. But Sam said, you know what? I think my preaching deserves more than a church and a house. Probably did, as preachers go. Probably did. But, you see, it doesn't make any difference. It's what God wants you to do that you'll answer for. It's what God wants me to do that I'll answer for. So, and I want to close with this. What does that living by faith, that walking with Jesus, that stepping out wherever He wants you to go, regardless of the consequences, stepping out there and doing it, what does that bring into your life? Now let's suppose for a second, just for a second, it brings misery, hardship, conflict, imprisonment. What are all the bad things you can think of? Suppose it does. Will that be worth it? Going to heaven, forever in heaven, living with Jesus, standing on the corner of Hallelujah and Divine Street and kicking up a gold dust storm just praising Christ? Yes, it would be. In fact, one apostle in the Word of God said, I like this. I pray that I might suffer like Jesus suffered. That I might become conformable to His death. That is, that I might die just like He died. That by all means, some way, I might be resurrected as He was. Yes. No matter how much you suffer, it'll be worth it. But that's not what Jesus said. If you do, count yourself in all joy that you were found worthy to do so. That's what, you know, He says. But He says, in the meantime, I have come that you might have life. That's what stepping out by faith, accepting Christ, brings. Life, eternal life. That you might have peace. That you might have joy. Have you noticed the people that seem to have all those things that our nature says we'd like to have? You know, the old boy that says $1,000 of seed money, he's appealing to your and my nature. Would I send it back if somebody sent me $1,000? No. I'd put it in the bank and try to do something to honor Jesus with it. But listen, you could have joy. And we sing about it. How's it we sing? It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And The half has not been told. How do you get that? Just walk by faith. Follow Jesus Christ. Wherever he wants you to go, whatever he wants you to do, there are no ifs, maybes, buts, or listen. God, I want to close with this thought. God has never asked you. Think about it with me. Stay with me just for a second. God has never asked you to do one thing that wasn't good. Has he? Think. Has he? God ever asked you? You know, when he asked you, why were you so resistant? Why was I so resistant when God asked me to put my faith and trust? He said, I'll give you the faith to do it, and I'll use my grace to see that it's completed if you'll ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and guide your life. Why was I so reluctant in that? Why were you? It is tough to follow by faith. But today, God is saying, you won't please me. Are you with me now? You won't please me in this service today unless you go out those doors. Choose whichever you like. You go out those doors walking in faith. Trusted him. He could say, go to Timbuktu. I'm on my way. Going to pack my suitcase today. He could say, you guys are with me for a second, aren't you? There's some places of service in New Life Church that are unfulfilled. I want you to step out by faith and fill those. But God, I've never done those things before. Oh, good. Good. He could say, it gets tougher. You might want to leave now. He could say, I want you to go across the street. You know that neighbor that you never see going to church, never see carry the Bible? Go across the street. Invite him to invite Jesus into his heart. Into his life. You see, all it's about is doing what Jesus wants you to do. That's sowing seed faith. And I guarantee you, it grows and it grows and it grows. Stand together.